Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, hey, welcome to week three of the Beatitudes. So whether you're in this room, you happen to be watching online, or maybe you're listening to a podcast, or you're over at Cole Community Church, who's joined us for the series, we are really, really glad that you're here. Some of you may be saying, you're here going, okay, where is Cole Community Church? Well, I'm glad you asked. Well, it's at 8775 Eustick, and we're here at Rock Harbor. I don't know why my Google pulls up Cup Bop and Red Robin and Played Against Sports. I don't know. Maybe I traffic those areas. Yum. But you've got, it's 9.4 miles away. And so depending on which way you take, you know, on Sunday morning, the traffic's pretty light. But as you look at this, it's going, okay, how are we streaming over there? I don't know if our production team like buried all the VCR coax cable that's sitting around like 9.4 miles. It's the internet somehow. So can we give it up for the production team doing all the work to be able to stream over at Cole? We're grateful for them and the worship team that's kind of doing double duty right now, and we're honored to be able to study the Beatitudes together. And so we're going to jump right in, okay? In Matthew chapter 5 is where we find the Beatitudes, so I encourage you to turn there, turn your Bibles. If you have the app, if you've got the program or the notes when you came in today, there's some notes right there that go along with today's message. I want to encourage you to study in Matthew and be going, okay, what took place before this? What took place after this? But today, Matthew 5:5, for the meek, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. See, our English language, this word meek, and as you look at it in the Greek, it's not a great translation. So I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes trying to translate it. What is meekness? What does that look like? Because it's defined as mild or humble, prouse or gentle, but this is a poor translation. You know, thinking of gentleness, it's good, but you can be gentle and not be under the authority of God. And these Beatitudes are written to people who are following. It's written to people that, like, if you're in Christ, being meek under God's authority, you're going to inherit the earth. And so it's kind of speaking to, here is this promise of blessing. So you can be kind and you can be gentle, but not be underneath God's authority. Not have surrendered your life, but you're a nice person. So meekness isn't gentleness or just an outward gentleness. We know they're not the same thing either, because Paul later says, when communicating in Greek, by the way, he says, I myself, Paul, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So it's meekness and gentleness. So these are different things. These Beatitudes, I said, they're being mentioned to the believer. Now, Jesus is on this mountain, and imagine, like, he's out there speaking, and it's this sermon on the mount or the foothills or the hillside. As he's out there, he's saying, here is a promise or a blessing if you are. Now, we need to realize that anything apart from God is not good. Everything of God, everything that's good comes down from the Father of lights. This promise of eternity, the promise of life in him, it's for those that are in him. Meaning that if there's this eternal promise and this eternal reward, we got to recognize there's also an eternal separation and eternal punishment. You've got the kingdom of heaven. As Scott shared last week, those who mourn over their sin, they will be comforted, they'll be forgiven, they'll be blessed. And then we've got those who are meek, they'll inherit the earth. These are eternal promises, but there's also eternal punishment. There really is a hell. And hell is actually talked about more by Jesus than heaven. Why? Because you and I need to be warned. We need to be warned a lot. Now, you're going, okay, Keith, like, you're just jumping right in talking about hell. Yeah, because you need to hear it. No, I'm just kidding. We need to hear it. We need to be warned. We need to know that there really is an eternal separation. There really is a punishment for sin. We live in a world and in a time where it's kind of like, we always want to be like, I don't really know, what a good God, and and we look at things and let me explain it this way. Think about what Satan wants to be shared. He wants you to be confused. He wants you to walk into eternity, whether an expected death or an unexpected, underinformed, confused, kind of going, hey, I'm going to toss it in the wind of my life, and if my goods outweighed my bad, he wants confusion. But Jesus came to bring clarity. He came to bring life. He came to bring hope. So it's important that we're going to hear these promises of eternity that are good and with God, that apart from him, there's this place. There is a heaven with God in his very presence, and there is a hell separate from God. Listen to how Matthew 8:12 describes this place of hell. While the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. An outer darkness, a separation. Think of everything that Jesus is, right? And God is light and life and hope. And then you have hell, outer darkness, weeping, no hope, gnashing of teeth, pain, suffering. It's important for us to recognize there are one of two places. What if you spent the rest of your life as a follower of Jesus saying, hey, I want to preach life through my life. I want everyone to know the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. I don't want them just going, we'll see if it kind of works out and if my good outweighs my bad. And maybe somebody over a certain period of time, there's one heaven, there's one hell. There's not three heavens. There's not a holding place. No, it's eternity with God or eternity separate from God. Listen to the hope that comes in John 5. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. You want life? Believe in God. And that Jesus came. He does not come into judgment, but it's passed from death to life. There is a promise of life that comes from him. So when we look at these Beatitudes and there's this promise of life that's given, we got to recognize, in order to inherit the earth, I first must be meek. I'm looking forward to later in the message as I define what it means to inherit the earth. But first, we've got to define meekness. Meekness, exercising God's strength under his control. It's demonstrating power with an undue harshness. It's power yet under control. Being under submission of God, which is not natural to us. It's not natural for us to be under submission to anything. And also, this is a characteristic that's not a suggestion. This is a requirement. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are to be meek. Meekness, what is it not? Well, meekness is not weakness. Let's talk about a couple things it's not. Meekness is not weakness. It's not laziness. It's not being aloof. It's not compromise. Meekness is not timidness or passiveness. Meekness isn't niceness, because you can be really nice, but yet be apart from God. Meekness is not a cowardice. Rather, it's being courageous. Meekness is not power and control. To be meek is not being powerful and controlling. See, the Jews were looking for this. So just imagine when Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they will or shall inherit the earth. They're all of a sudden going, we're going to inherit the earth? They're thinking in their context because they're waiting on this Messiah that's going to come. They're waiting on this one that's going to bring military force. They're waiting on someone like David that overtook their enemies. And they're going, yes, he said inherit the earth. Land is important. Let's battle over the land. We're going to gain land back. We're going to gain, our borders are going to be broadened. And now their mind is starting to head in that direction, but then they're confused because he's talking about meekness. The meek will inherit the earth. To be meek is humbly patient, even when you're provoked. I need to share with you guys, I've been provoked over the last 7 days. My Cowboys simply losing to the 49ers. I tell you what, hold on. Shh, shh, shh. What is wrong with this church? I think I'm going to go over to Cole. I think they're more godly over there. But anyways, I've done my very best as provoked by workers of iniquity, the 49er fans, to be meek this entire week and humble. You guys should try it. A meekness is when you endure an injury, but you're not resentful about it. My friend, I found out he had some eye surgery, and as part of his recovery for his eye to heal, he had to lay in, you know, those beds with the hole in it that you get massages? You know what I mean? I usually like those beds because it's 45 minutes to an hour, whatever gift card my wife gets me, you know? Because I have scoliosis. Anybody else got scoliosis? We need to create a club, Scoliosites for Jesus. God bless scoliosis and the Cowboys. And so, but I sure love to get a massage, but it's an hour, and you're drooling all over the paper. You know, I'm at the chiropractor the other day. You're just oh, it's great. I can't imagine 5 days because his eye was healing. I get resentful about a lot of things. His words were, after 5 days, I just thought, if I have to go back and do this, and the thing was, you're going to have to do 10 days next time. He's I just want to be dead. I didn't mean to tell on my friend and say he's not meek and he's resentful. But think about something when you've endured an injury and the pain that's come alongside of it, and you begin to question things. A meek person says, this is for the glory of God. Because life is painful. Life is hurtful. There's plenty of reasons that we will mourn in this life. As Scott preached last week, the mourning, not just over grief, learning how to grieve well, but the mourning over our sin. But not being resentful, that's meekness. Meekness, it brings a sense of calm to your soul. Meekness says, God's in control of my life, period. Meekness is connected with a long-range view. You ever been around those people that are hey, think about the end game. Hey, read scripture. We know how this ends. There's a meekness to that. Meekness doesn't come from fear, but rather meekness comes from a firmness in your faith that's rooted in Jesus Christ. It is hey, I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. That is meekness. See, that word meek in the Greek, it was a way that they described the breaking in a broken horse. I grew up riding horses. I had a horse even as early as age 6, age 7, age 8. You guys, many of you wouldn't understand. You get your Pokemons and your Xboxes and stuff like that. But there was a time where that was my life. And I had a horse. My horse's name was Billy. I had a song, Billy, Billy, Bio. What do you know? You're walking on quicksand, walk slow. My mom made it up, and I was just ride this 30-year-old horse that couldn't run for his life. He might die. But I rode a horse. And thinking about the power, that's the reason we call it horsepower. Think about the power that's in a horse and a bridled horse. But there's the breaking in of a horse. And some of you are really have to break in horses? Yeah, let me explain. Okay? Most of you are used to those little short ones that go in the circle that you pay about $1,000 for your kids to ride. That's a Shetland pony, okay? And ain't known that there's not special. You know, there are horses out there that they have to be broken in. I rode one of them this summer. His name was Spirit. He was not filled with the Holy Spirit. He was an evil spirit. I got on this horse, and I'm riding this horse, and it's just great. We're having a good, probably 20 minutes, but he had a mind of his own. And he's a little out there. He's, following the Spirit. And I was until he bucked me 3 times. But boom, for an 8-second ride, it's about $12, just so you guys know. It's about 12 of them. Pastorally speaking, I went about 20. Reality, it was 3. Okay, reality was 3. $3 later, I'm oh my goodness, demon, get off of thee. I ride it back and I'm okay, I'm kind of done. I did one more lap to act it didn't faze me because I want to be a man, you know? And right when I got up to his owner, the guy who had broken him, I go, dude, he bucked. Right then he thought, I'm going to give you one more reminder. Bucked me one more time. Bam! Back to the chiropractor and the scoliosis. Anyways, but these horses that are unbridled, the horses that are unbroken, but when broken, what a beautiful picture of power under control. See, meekness is not power and control. Meekness is power under control. Under control in a specific direction with a purpose, with a long-range view. Not resentful. You're running your own race. That's what meekness really is. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who have power under control. Not those with power and control, because that's what they were looking for. I mean, you look at the first part of Matthew 5, verse 1 through 2, it says, Jesus sat down and the disciples were right there at his feet. Every time you look with Jesus, he was not above the people, he was among the people. What did emperors do at that day and time? They were above the people, right? They were on the throne being carried by the 7, 8, 12, it's got to be an even number, just like a casket, you know, people. That got really dark. But they're carrying the emperor up there above the people. When they were at the city courts, they would stand, even to this day, and they speak to the people that are below them. And now Jesus is right there with them on this hillside. And I don't know if they were looking down at him or they were looking up at him, but what I do know is he was among the people. And he was communicating humbly. And then he tells them, you're going to inherit the land. Because he's meek. And he's living out meekness. And he's saying there's an inheritance that's waiting on you. If you're humbly patient, you have my power in you, and it's under my authority, and you're under control. See, David, the same one that they wanted this new Messiah to exercise that military authority, that political authority, he wrote a psalm later in life. It's called a psalm of wisdom. It's in Psalm 37. I want to read it for you because you can hear the wisdom. And he, you know, David, thinking, writing it later in his life, he had a different level of wisdom. It's kind of like in this room. With the Spirit of God, there's bountiful wisdom. But there's nothing like wisdom from an old saint. There's nothing like wisdom from someone who's been a lot of places and experienced a lot of places, has really had to show meekness, even in painful times. Praise God we have a multi-generational church. Praise God that there are people of all ages in this church. That's what the church is supposed to be. And David is saying, here's some things that I want to praise God for later in life. Psalm 37, verse 3 is where I want to start. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires. No, be meek, right? Refrain from anger. Meekness, forsake wrath. Meekness, fret not yourself. Meekness, for fretting yourself tends only for evil. For the evildoers, they're going to be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord shall what? Inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more, though you look carefully at his place. He will not be there, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Meekness, inheriting the land, abundant peace. See, this David, he was anointed to be king. He was chosen by God. He was anointed at about 15, 30, and 37. Each were different anointings. The first one was you're going to be a king, but Saul is the current one. At year 30, anointed king over Judah, and at year 37, over all of Israel. But at 15, he's anointed, but he's serving in the palace, and he's being persecuted and attacked by Saul. Saul wanted him dead. He didn't want that next person even around. There were songs about David. He hated David, but David was not eager. David was meek. David was not entitled. You want to talk about one of the most ugliest characteristics, entitlement. Meekness is about the opposite of it. Some of you are thinking of entitled people right now. Don't worry, we're going to be receiving communion shortly. And you'll get an opportunity to confess your entitlement. Because we all have it. You know what entitlement is? It's saying, I deserve everything. I want when I want it. That's what entitlement is. I deserve everything I want when I want it. But meekness is saying, I trust God's timing. Meekness is saying God's going to provide. Meekness is saying, I'll wait on the Lord. So what did David do? He continued to be loyal. He continued to serve. He continued to endure persecution. Saul wanted him dead. Saul was hunting David down. How many in here know what covering your feet is when Scripture references it? Covering your feet. Just a few people. I can't wait to reveal this to you. See, there's certain passages of Scripture, or certain translations that use covering your feet, and others use a different one. Let's look at 1 Samuel 24, talking of when David was being chased down. Verse number 3, and he came to the sheepfolds by the way, where there's a cave. And Saul went into the cave to cover his feet, also known as relieving himself, because he's dropping his robe, covering his feet. Did I ever tell you guys I used to be a youth pastor? This is one of my favorite passages to preach. Every guy in the room is like, bro, seriously? I'm like, yeah, yep. Saul's in there covering his feet, relieving himself in this cave. And the men of David said, here's the day. The Lord has said to you, behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as you see it seems good to you. Then David arose to kill him. Nope. To stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. David could have killed him. Saul's covering his feet. And even if he would have got up, he would have tripped on his robe, right? But instead, he goes up and he cuts a piece of his robe off. First off, there's a lot of things to say here. That is nasty. Number one, let the man do his business. But, well, okay. Let's talk about hunters for just a second, because most of them aren't here today. Let's be honest. We can talk about them. They're right now walking around, fully armed, some poor little jackalope, no weapon, is about to get killed in the name of Jesus. I'm also one as well. I'm just working today, serving the Lord. Hope you guys get a big one. But anyways, back to the resentment and bitterness of it. But think about like being that hunter. You go into a cave. You don't know that something's in there. But then when you come out, you're missing some of your cryptic. Like you look down, you're like, some of your camo's gone. It's like, you'd want to go back and make a second round because you'd have to go doo-doo again, right? It'd be scary. Saul comes out and David could have killed him, but he didn't. And David then says to his men, the Lord forbid that I would do this thing to my Lord. He's still calling him his Lord. This king that's trying to kill him and has been trying for years. I didn't want to raise my hand against the Lord's anointed to put my hand against him, seeing that he is the Lord's anointed. Then he says to Saul, see my father, my Lord, right? With honor, respect, meekness. See the corner of your robe? Look, Saul, I have it in my hand. By the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there's no wrong or treason in my hands. I've not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it. What did David do? He waited on the Lord's timing. He had the right. He had the right to defend himself. I mean, Saul, given switch the circumstances, Saul would have killed him. Saul is hunting him to be killed. David and his men happen to be in the back end of this cave. Saul goes in to get a little bit of privacy. And then David chooses to spare his life and then lets him know. Not out of pride or arrogance, but out of honor and respect. I'm here to serve you, but I'm waiting on the Lord's timing. You may have the right, but does it make it right? Think about that. You may have the right to prove your sibling wrong. You may have the right to expose them because they aren't honest. Think about, there may be a circumstance or a situation at your workplace that if you simply would just expose this person's behavior, you would get the promotion, you would get recognized. How do you be strong and under control? How do you have power yet be under control? Looking to do the will of the Father. You may have the right, but is it God's right timing? The evildoer will be exposed. Is it God's timing for you to be part of that? Or do you need to humbly, patiently, meekly pray and seek God's perfect timing? Because David had every right, but he chose not to. Meekness is choosing God's timing and his blessing over your rightness. Jesus is truly the perfect example of meekness. As they were in the garden and they had prayed and they were praying, and this was the moment, they had just had the Last Supper. They had just had communion, which we're about to receive. But Jesus is in the garden, and all of a sudden the soldiers come in. And all of a sudden the soldiers are coming to take Jesus. And Peter grabs a sword and he chops off the ear of one of them. Here were Jesus' words in that moment. Jesus says, "Put back your sword into its place." Matthew 26:52. "For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scripture be fulfilled, that it must be so?" See, when it comes to meekness, you realize Jesus in that moment could have called on 72,000 angels. That is, a legion is 6,000 and 12 legions at that. 72,000 angels to come down and absolutely annihilate those who were going to arrest him. Annihilate those who were going to be beating him and putting him on trial. Annihilating those who were soon to be crucifying him. But he meekly said, "How would the scriptures not be fulfilled?" He had just asked just before this, "If you want this cup to pass from me." Meekness. Could have used his power. He's God. Could have used his control. He's got the whole world in his hands. Yet what did he do? He came under the authority of his Father, God the Father. And it wasn't his will. So he said, "It's not the right timing. It may be right because look at what they're going to do to me. I don't deserve this. But I have a long-range view. I'm meek. I'm looking at the end goal. And there are lives that are apart from me, but there's a sacrifice that's going to be made with my life. A perfect gift poured out as an offering on a cruel cross. Undeserved." Did he have the right? Yeah, he was God. But did he exercise that right? No, he exercised meekness. So when it says, what does it mean? When it says inherit the earth, what does it mean? What does it mean to inherit the earth? If now that we've defined meekness, the humble sacrifice of Christ, having not something to prove, but something to give. What does it mean to inherit the earth? Well, if we look at it within the context where Jesus says inherit the land or inherit the earth, within this historical context, there's an Israelite, a Jewish man, Jesus, speaking to other Jewish people, other Israelites. He's speaking of the land of Israel. He's speaking that there is a land that will be theirs if they act in a certain way and in accordance with him. See, there were times that Jesus was speaking to what was going on then, but he was also speaking to what was going on later. There was a principle that was applicable then, but it's applicable now. So when we read, "Blessed are the meek, so they will inherit the land." Yes, the land that was being talked about, the land that's still being battled for now. The Holy Land. He's saying this land, God's people, the Israelites, the Jewish people, descendants of Isaac. Abraham and Sarah had a baby, Isaac. But before that, Abraham was impatient. Abraham took a handmaid, a servant. She had a baby named Ishmael. Ishmael's descendants. God wanted to bless Ishmael and his offspring. Although God's plan was Isaac, but Ishmael and his descendants rose up against the lineage of Jesus, Isaac, on through, and David, and all the people leading up to this lineage of Jesus Christ. Ishmael. We're going to bring in a false god. A little g god. They've got the one true God, Jesus Christ, through that lineage, but we got Allah. We got Islam. We're not going to worship their God. No, we're going to rival them. We're going to fight over the land. And any other God, other than the one true God, you need to hear this, is demonic. It's not just, oh, it's another God. It's demonic. The reason it's important for us to recognize there really is a heaven, there really is a hell, is just the same. We need to realize that there really is one true God. There's one way to him. There's one truth, there's one life. His name's Jesus. And the land that's promised, yes, there is a holy war. There is a holy land, but it's more than that. It's not good and evil. Let's be very clear. It's God and evil. It's not good and evil. It's God and evil. And all we have to do is look at the Bible, and it tells us how it's going to end. It tells us who's going to win. And there's an inheritance in this land. There's an inheritance. And when you inherit the earth, being a humble, devoted, meek follower of Jesus means I'm going to put my pride aside. I'm going to allow him authority over my life. I'm going to surrender my sins to him, the only one who's faithful, the only one who's just, the only one who's worthy to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from my unrighteousness. And we should mourn over that sin. We studied that last week. So what does this mean, inherit the earth? Well, prosperity gospel would tell you you're going to be rich. If you love God, then he's going to bless you financially. He's going to give you this. Just pray it and it'll be yours. That's a false gospel. But the true gospel is this. There are two applications. One, there is a promise of the future, inherit the earth. The new heavens, the new earth will be granted. The promise in the present, a meek person will have the right understanding of who God is and who they are. They will have him in the proper place of their life. A meek person will be content with whatever circumstances they have before them. A meek person will not place themselves on the throne. A meek person will be under the authority of God. A meek person will not be entitled. A meek person has the power of the Holy Spirit inside of them. And they're under the control of their Heavenly Father. That's what it means to be meek. Are you meek? Are you meek? For 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Whose authority are you under? Would you bow your heads with me? Right now in this moment, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is an opportunity for us to reflect. This is an opportunity for us. This is truly a moment and a calling to your own personal holiness. We're going to receive communion in just a moment, and the important part of that is recognizing the gift that's been given. Remembering well what sacrifice has been made for us. For when we remember well, we worship well. To not take sin casually. If we take sin casually, we'll be a casualty. There's a battle that's raging. Is there pride in there in you? Is there control in you? Is there power struggles that you're going through? Are you submitted to God? Would you take the next few moments as this song is sung, just right where you are, to reflect, to confess sin, to know that Jesus forgives. He laid his life down. Maybe for some of you, it's to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, recognizing that following the meekness in that garden, he went to a cross. He died on that cross, but he rose again from the tomb that they placed him in. And in that, we can have life. In that, our sins can be forgiven. So in this moment, as this song is played, would you receive Jesus as your Savior if you've never done that? Or two, would you confess? Would you receive the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit to be made right with him? And you can receive communion as you're prepared. I'll be out in just a moment to close us in prayer. God, we thank you for your body that was broken in your Son, that you sent, the blood that was poured out, that covered our sins, that when you see us, if we've sought your forgiveness, if we've received your salvation, you don't see the sin, you see your Son. God, we praise you that you forgive sins. Thank you for the perfect example in your Son of meekness. Let us be a meek people. Let us not look for the inheritance, but let us just live faithfully, fully in what you have for us. Thank you for your forgiveness. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.